God bless each of you being baptized today. It's very exciting. It's a glorious day. But if you would, for some thoughts here, Daniel chapter 11, if you would turn to Daniel chapter 11, when Brother Abner had spoken to me about speaking a few thoughts this morning, and as I was praying, because I didn't have anything, there was nothing. And these words came to my heart, and I've really grappled to know how to present this, because this could go in many directions and have many expressions of what we have here. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Especially want to focus on B, the second part of 32. Daniel 11, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." The people who know their God. Do you know Him? Is He a code of ethics to you? Is He just some principle to follow? He does have principles to follow. And there's true righteousness and true what is not righteous. But to have a living relationship with such a one is the privilege of every child of God. I'll read a verse here from Hebrews. I'll just quickly read this verse here. In Hebrews chapter 8, in verse 10 it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord." And I believe we're the new Israel. We're the new covenant Israel. We're the church. We're that fulfillment. I don't know what all God has for Israel. But here's a covenant that God makes with everyone that He receives. "I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Some of the most precious words in the Word of God. That God is not some distant phenomenon that is majorly only interested in steering the storms. You know, there's a big thunderstorm here and God's busy orchestrating this thunderstorm. Or maybe there's a tornado blowing somewhere, earthquake, and there's big calamities going on. And God indeed is interested in what's going on there. But He is very interested in what's going on in the individual heart. And He is a God that wishes to draw near and to know every individual. And there are a people who do know their God in the work of their lives as they have grown to adulthood or somewhere in there. God has moved in hearts and God has called many hearts that have not responded to Him. But as God seeks there, as He did for Samuel, and as a little boy, he may have been 8 or 10 years old, God comes and says, "Samuel." "Ooh, Eli's calling me." And Samuel bounces out of bed. And he goes. He says, "Well, here I am. Well, what do you need? I didn't call you. Go back." And it happens 3 times. And God is calling for a young man who He wants to fashion as a person who responds to God, who hears His voice, who hears His word, and is a faithful priest and prophet to Israel all of his life. There's not a higher integrity man in the Scripture hardly than Samuel. And God sought this relationship with this young man. But God wants it to turn the other way. God's very desirous and interested in having a relationship with everyone, but not everyone bends their energies and puts their pedals on the feet on the pedals and cranks the bike to propel themselves towards God, to seek God. But there's a people that know God, and they're a strong people, and they do exploits. What do I mean by strong? Does that mean they're the best marathon runners? No, they may be an invalid in the bed. But they have power with God. And God has power with them. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. This second half of the verse is a statement of God's people throughout the ages. In every generation, those who know God are this way. We could talk about Ruth the Moabitess, who did not know God very well, but trusted Him and chose Him and His people above her birth nation. This is a strong woman. This woman became a partaker of the physical lineage of Christ, and I believe she already had the spiritual lineage. As she did cleave to Naomi and forsook all of her background, her own people and her own nation, and chose Him and the blessings that came upon her. We could talk of Hannah and her prevailing faith as she travailed with God for a son. And we could talk about her son Samuel, who was possibly the most godly man who spoke to God, and God spoke to him. And you'll not find a more faithful, loyal man of God than Samuel. I think of the night that Samuel prayed and cried to God all night because Saul was making wrong choices of disobedience. He was strong. I think of Eli's sons who, though they served at the altar, did not know God, did not serve Him, and whose sins stank up to high heaven. But let's look here at the life of Abraham, who James chapter 2, verse 23 says he was the friend of God. Many cry to God in our despair for deliverance from the enemy and our troubles. But who can say about God, or who can God say this about, that He or she is my friend? What I was trying to express was that many of us cry to God in our despair for deliverance. Maybe it's from some enemy or some trouble. But who can God say about He or she is my friend? When Abraham bound his son and laid him on the altar, as God had said, he was declaring that God meant more to him, was a reality to him above any human or anything on the face of the earth. The most awe-striking things are those things that flow from knowing God. I'd just like to take a little bit of a journey here and look at a few glimpses of Abraham's life in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. And as I think of you all being baptized here today, this is not the end. This is the beginning. And maybe it's not the beginning. Maybe you have been communing with God in your secret closet, in your life as you go throughout the day. Maybe you've been communing with God for a long time. Maybe you've known God for some time. But this is not something that you sort of arrive and you meet all the qualifications and you get this certificate and you stick it in your pocket and I have it for that great day when I stand before the Lord. No, this is an opportunity and a privilege to enter into a lifelong relationship with a God who will, by His person and His nature, will affect your choices and your life and the quality of life that you live beyond any other thing that ever can be imagined. Some of you have a hard time functioning without your friends. And I'm not sure what all that amounts to, whether it's some things that the friends contribute, whether it's their personality, whether it's the spark that the friends give you or you give their friends, or, you know, the relationships are fairly dependent. If you don't have these relationships, you're going to be starving. You're going to be it's not going to be the same. It's going to be a trial. Well, God wants to be that way. And though your eye can't see Him, or your inner ear ought to certainly hear Him, yet He is there, and you know that He's there, and you know when you approve of Him, and you know when you're disapproved of Him. But in Genesis chapter 12, we want to begin reading here, just share a few thoughts here. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. As we continue to think of the people who know their God, are strong and do exploits, I just want to draw our attention here to Abraham. We'll call him Abraham. He's Abram in this chapter. I want to notice that in chapter 11, verse 31, that Terah, Abram's father, had taken his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran here. And Abraham had surrendered his family to the Lord. In verse 1 in chapter 12, it says here, and the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Here is a feat that Abram accomplished. He left his homeland and his family. It looks to me like in reading in this passage that God had spoken to Abram in Ur of the Chaldees. And Dad said, well, if you are going, then the rest of us are going. And they came out to go into the land of Canaan, it says in chapter 11. And they got as far as the Haran, and here they parked. We weren't going on into the land of Canaan. But the day came when Abram's father passed away. And some have felt that in chapter 12 here, God comes and tells him again, it's time to go. I don't read it that way. As I read it last night and this morning, I'm not sure which. Abram remembered, it seems to me, what God had originally commissioned him. But the family got in the way. It seems that Abram was called to leave it all. But they all came with him and they landed in Haran. And Abram had strength enough from God just to park there until God opened the way up. It doesn't give us details here, but I just ask any of us here today, are we strong enough and yielded enough to be able just to park and say, God, when you open the way, I'm going forward. There are certain circumstances and situations, and we say, oh, now we're going to let circumstances get in the way of obeying God. I don't know how it all was, but Abram found himself surrendering his family and his most loved ones to God. And God opened the door, and he was able to move forward and onward. Was this possibly Abram's first test of faith? Will he now come out and go into this land that God has called him to, leaving all the rest of his family? And then Lot goes with him, and I don't understand all of those things. And then later Lot separates from him. But here, just ask you, is your devotion, I know some of you are quite young, but the devotion inside, is it stronger than family loyalty? Is it stronger than family favor? And I know God has set up things in an authority structure and some of these things. But are you willing to follow God if he opens the doors? This love that we have to the Lord Jesus is to be stronger than that. How could Abram now leave all that was familiar, the entire family, except Lot, and go out into an unknown future full of dangers and uncertainties? He knew God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 10, verse 15. 10 through 15, rather. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Why? Why did Abraham respond this way? Well, the passage doesn't tell us. But what would have happened, rather than figuring out what needs to happen and how I can save my neck and how we can work this situation, what would have happened if Abram, when they pitched camp that one night, would have gone in there and got on his tent and on his knees in his tent and said, Now, God, we have a problem. You know the fears I have inside that somebody's going to kill me for my wife's. And Lord, what shall we do here? Would you give guidance here? What would have happened? Well, I don't really know, because that's not how the story reads. But if he would have sought God and possibly employed a veil. I want to make this point with this. What is it that you're trying to control on your own? What is it that is too small to pray about? See, Abraham was able to trust God with great big things. But when it came to family matters and discernment, and there's a glitch. This is the way I read it. No condemnation on their dear brother Abraham. He's our father in the faith. But these stories are here for a reason. The people that do know their God are going to be strong and do exploits. Exploits are just accomplishments of feats accomplished. There are areas and matters that believers don't take to God, and I don't know why we don't. Would God have provided answers for this situation? Certainly. Would God have led him to use a veil for her face? I don't know. Are you facing something? Talk to God about it. Friends don't just talk to friends about big things. They chat about little things. You know how much trouble Abram caused Pharaoh and his house by not taking this matter to the Lord? In verse 17, it says, And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And somehow Pharaoh caught on that there's a problem over here with this woman. And he called Abram and he sent him away with his wife. What is it that we need God for? We need him included in everything. I could give you some examples. But let's go to Genesis 22. The people that do know their God, they're going to be strong and able to accomplish feats. I'm just going to read 22:1-6 and then verse 9 and 10. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Verse 9, And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. How could he do this? Could you? I would have assumed a long time ago I was hearing voices. This just can't be. God wouldn't lead me into a situation like this. But God did. And Abraham, full of faith, in Hebrews 11 says that he had already figured it out. This is the son of promise, and if I kill him, God's going to raise him from the dead. But how could you take a knife in your own hand at God's command and slay your child? I wouldn't have the strength to. I would be horrified to. But here is a man of faith who God very definitely said, do it. And when he took that knife and raised that knife, Abraham, Abraham, in the nick of time, that knife never fell. But Isaac was as good as dead. If you were a young person in your father's home, would you be able to let your father tie you hand and foot and lay you on an altar? We say, well, these are gruesome things. You're talking about murder. This is scripture of a man who walked with God and didn't withhold his only son from God. He was strong and he accomplished extraordinary feats because he knew God. Now, there is a way in which the Lord calls us to lay down our lives at His feet in that way. In our hearts, have we yet surrendered our children to God? Or maybe our parents to God? Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? It looks like a catastrophe, but God, if you're doing it, it'll come out all right. Go ahead, God. This was that Abraham. I'll ask you a question. Was Abraham scarred the rest of his life? No. No. His heart was yet more free and more at rest. God is sovereign and He has blessed. Is it safe here, young people, those of you getting baptized, all of us here together, is it safe to lay everything at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, do with this as you will? Whatever you tell me to do with it, I'll do with it. But otherwise, is it safe? Something inside of us says, no, that's not safe. But it is safe if you know God. And if you want to know Him fuller, it's yet safe. Will He take advantage of you if you do? Will He? I'd like to hear it stronger. No, He'll never take advantage. He that gave His own Son, what won't He give us else? What will eternity reveal happened because you knew God? It is a perpetual principle that the people that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Now, I want to say yet this one thing. Sometimes people, we're tempted to try to do big things or strong things or do some exploits to draw attention to us. Those that know God want Him to get all the glory. They don't want to be in the limelight and be seen as heroes. They're content with God being the focus and everything. Sometimes people want to do accomplished feats for God because, I'm going to look big. No, that wasn't in the Lord Jesus' heart, and it shouldn't be in ours. God bless you.